these last words that we just heard in the gospel. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. It's a good place for us to start our reflection this evening. Our Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. Sometime, like we said last week, sometimes we might fall into the temptation of thinking that we need to figure out how to pray, almost as if there was a riddle on God's heart that we need to decipher somehow in order to say and do the right things so that he'll finally open his heart to us. But the truth is that our Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. Our Father doesn't want to hold anything back from us. Our Father is not miserly, but he's generous. And so he's so happy for you who have gathered here tonight, desiring to know him more and to experience him in our prayer. So our topic for tonight, is praying with scriptures. But before we get into that, I just want to review for a moment what we talked about the last 2 weeks. So firstly, we've said that prayer is an expression of a real relationship that we have with God. Prayer is an expression of a real relationship that we have with God. Jesus says in John's gospel, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master's doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. So we go into prayer believing that God desires friendship with us. So if prayer is spending quality time with the Lord who considers us his friend, then just as in human relationships, there has to be a time for sharing, a speaking heart to heart with the Lord who calls us his friend. And so whenever we go to pray, we want to speak to the Lord honestly and openly, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with him. So just like in any close relationship, we want to be honest and open. We know that we're in a close relationship with someone when we can be honest and open with them, which sometimes means saying, I'm angry with you, or I'm upset with you, or I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're saying to me. God appreciates such openness and honesty, like we do too from our real friends. But real dialogue between friends includes not only speaking, but also listening. We don't want to be like that friend who does all the talking and never lets us get in a word edgewise. So as important as it is to speak to the Lord, it's even more important that we allow the Lord to speak to us. So that's the first thing that I just wanted to repeat from what we talked about last week, that prayer is an expression of a real relationship, and in our prayer time we want to have a personal sharing with the Lord, but we also, even more importantly, want the Lord to share with us. So the second point that is just for a little review is that we never initiate prayer, but God always initiates contact with us. This is really important. When we go to pray, it's not us trying to connect with the Lord or trying to figure out how to connect with the Lord. Prayer isn't a puzzle that we need to solve or figure out so that we can achieve an experience of God. At every moment, God is communicating his life and love to us. At every moment, we're surrounded by his love, whether we're in prayer or doing the dishes or sleeping or sinning. At every moment, God is surrounding us with his love. And so what we want prayer to be, instead of our actively trying to figure out God or how to communicate with him, what we rather want it to be is a time of receptivity, a time of availability, where we allow God to speak to our hearts. 1 John 4, verse 10 says this: "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us." This is a really good verse to get in our heads so that it moves down into our heart and stays there. In this is love, not that I have loved God, but that God has loved me. And if I can learn more and more that God loves me, then maybe I'll be able to love him back. But God doesn't love me because I love him. He loves me first. And then learning his love for me, experiencing it, then I might be able to respond with loving him back. So I start with this little review because I think it's helpful for us when we're entering into this topic tonight of praying with the scriptures, because praying with the scriptures is going to be very similar to the way of praying that we've been talking about. Trying to be receptive, not worrying about figuring things out, solving a riddle or a puzzle, but being available to God so that he can touch my heart and speak to me. So first, I think it's important that we distinguish praying with the scriptures from reading the scriptures, because there's a big difference between praying and reading. Both are good things. Once I tried to do one of those read the Bible in a year programs. I think I actually tried multiple times to do that because I really wanted to develop the habit of reading the scriptures daily. So I think the first time I tried, it lasted about 10 days before I gave up. The second time I tried, I got to somewhere in the middle of the book of Leviticus before I just gave up completely. So getting through chapters 7 and 8 of Leviticus, because that's the reading goal that I've made for that day, that's very different than praying with the scriptures. It's a wonderful thing to read the scriptures, and hopefully we all have that as our goal, to be very familiar with the scriptures, maybe even to try to read the whole Bible at some point in our life. But praying the scriptures is different than this. Praying the scriptures is also different than studying the scriptures, which is something that I really love to do. It's often the way that I begin the preparation for my homily. I'll take the Sunday readings and I'll start analyzing them. And I'm not relying on my own wisdom so much, but I'm reading commentaries on the text, or I'm looking to see what the fathers of the church wrote about the text, or trying to use the 1 year long elementary Greek class that I had to take in the seminary. I'll go back to the Greek text and I'll confuse myself by trying to figure out what the Greek has to say, what the original language says. So that's a wonderful thing to do, but definitely different than studying, or definitely different than praying. When we study, it's kind of like we're analyzing an object before us to get to know it better. But what if we've been saying that prayer is? We've been talking about how prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation where there's communication. There's a giving and a receiving, a sharing and a listening. Reading and studying the scriptures can result in prayer, but it would happen something like this. Let's say I'm studying for my Sunday homily, so I'm studying the text, and then I find that something is really resonating with me interiorly. Maybe I find that a particular phrase really relates to my own recent experience, and I feel like God has something to say to me. That's when I'll bring it to prayer, and I'll bring just that phrase or that sentence or verse to prayer, and I'll try to allow the Lord to speak that into my heart. So reading and study can result in prayer, but it's important for us to realize that reading and studying the scriptures are not prayer. So the way that I like to pray with the scriptures is the same way taught by a spiritual author named Father Nigro. He's a Jesuit priest. He taught at Gonzaga University for many years, and he's deceased now. I actually put in the back of church copies of an article that he wrote on prayer. That's an article I've given many people. It's an article that really helps to shape my own goals when I'm praying. So as I talk about this, I'm not going to pretend that this is my own method. It's really his, and he probably didn't make it up either himself. But like everybody else, we receive during life, and then that becomes our own. So Father Nigro teaches that when we've set aside this particular time of prayer, and like we've said, it should be at least 15 minutes, and if we can do more, great. So if we've set aside 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour for this time of quiet with the Lord, after acknowledging his presence, we try to speak to him from the heart or respond in some way to his being there with us. So we might say thank you, or I love you too. Or we might find ourselves needing to tell him about what's on our heart, a heaviness or a gratitude. And then like we said last week, at least half of the time we've set aside, we actually don't want to be our sharing, but we want it to be quiet so that we create a space of availability where we allow God to be with us and to speak to us. So sometimes this time where we allow God to speak to us is going to be filled with peace or the sense of his being present to us or with us. Sometimes we might have the sense that he's really speaking something onto our heart. Last week we talked about the different ways that we can experience God's voice, which is almost never an audible voice that we hear with our ears, but rather something that comes upon our heart. And it could just be the sense of peace or being loved or being with, being heard, understood. Sometimes it could be a particular word that we feel the Lord say to us, like, I'm with you always. I'm never going to leave you. You're my beloved daughter. I'm proud of you. What a beautiful thing if we would feel the Lord impress that upon our heart. If that happens, we should stay there as long as we can. Just like if we're having an intimate moment with our spouse or best friend or whoever, we want to try to stay in that moment as long as we can. But we all know that sometimes, perhaps often, our experience of prayer is not like that. It's not where we have the sense of felt communion with the Lord or we feel the Lord speaking a discernible word on our heart, but often our experience of prayer is dry. Sometimes it can even feel like God is absent. And of course, he's not actually absent. He's surrounding us with his love at every possible moment. If he wasn't, then we would pop out of existence. The only reason I exist right now and you exist right now is because we're being loved into existence by God at this moment, and now at this moment, and now again at this moment. So it's not true that God's absent. However, we can feel like he is. And God allows this. God allows everything that happens to us. So when we feel consoled in prayer, God allows that. If it's authentic spiritual consolation, he causes that. But if we're feeling desolate at any time, really, but also during prayer, God's allowing that. And he's allowing that out of love for us, because he can use all things, our good experiences as well as our bad experiences. So when prayer feels like this, like God is absent, or when prayer is distracted or feels tedious, when we keep looking at our watch and we still have 18 minutes left to pray, I can't believe it. It's been like 18 minutes for the past 18 minutes. So Father Nigro says that when we're struggling to feel God's presence with us for a prolonged period of time, this is a really good time to turn to the sacred scriptures in our prayer. What are we seeking when we go to pray in the first place? Well, we're seeking the Lord to say something to our heart. So if we're having trouble hearing him or feeling him, it's a wonderful thing to turn then to his word, to his word addressed to us. So, practical suggestions then on encountering the Lord through his word. Well, first of all, we're not going to turn to a random passage. Once in a while, you'll hear about people who open up the Bible at random. So they'll cover their eyes, and then they'll flip open the Bible, and they'll put their finger down in the Bible like I'm doing right now, and they'll look down and they'll think, oh no, it's 2 Chronicles. And not that the Holy Spirit can't work that way, but probably doesn't very often. So that's not what we're going to do when we are turning to a scripture passage. We're not going to select a passage at random. But what Father Nigro recommends is that we turn to a passage that already we feel like might speak to us, might have something to say to us, that we would pre-select a passage, either right before we go to pray, or maybe we do that the day before, or maybe we're just kind of in the same state of mind for a week or a couple weeks, that the same passage is just what we need to hear. And I'll talk a little bit more about how to do that. But what's helpful about pre-selecting a passage is then we aren't wasting time during prayer to figure out a passage to pray with. You know, and that can be a temptation too sometimes, because we look at our watch and we think, oh my goodness, 18 more minutes. Well, maybe I can spend 5 minutes trying to find a passage in the Bible. And then I'll only have 18 more minutes, because that seems to be the way that my prayer is going. This is also where people can feel a little intimidated, because they don't feel like they know the Bible well enough, or where would I even start to pre-select a passage. So a couple thoughts about this. First of all, this is where modern technology can be really helpful, because if you have a computer or a phone that's connected to internet, you could type into the search bar on Google scripture to read when stressed. So I did that this afternoon, and many websites came up with many different options. So I just clicked on one, and the first option for scriptures to read when stressed was one from Chronicles, so I passed that one by. But the next one was from Deuteronomy, and it looked promising. And this is what it was, is Deuteronomy verse 31, chapter 31, verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I think for a lot of people, that would be a wonderful verse just to sit with in their prayer. Pretty easy to find. As we pray with the scriptures, what I like to do and what I do is I keep a little log of the scripture passages that I like. So over the years, it's kind of become like my personal prayer scripture repertoire. These are the passages that tend to speak to me. And so I pray with the same passage for a week or two at a time. Or I come back over and over again to the same passage because the Word of God is alive. And it's always speaking to us. And so it's no surprise that God uses the same verses in 2018 in my life that he is now doing in 2020, because I'm the same person, but he's always new. And so as you find scripture passages that really speak to you, write them down and come back to them. So let's say now that with the help of Google, I've pre-selected a passage that I'm going to pray with. And it helps if it's short. One verse can be great. Of course, it can be a longer than that. But if it's more than 6, 8, 10 verses, well, then we can get stuck in reading rather than praying the scriptures. So again, only if I feel like I'm not connecting with the Lord on an experiential level, if I'm feeling that he's absent, am I going to turn to the scriptures during this time? But if prayer is dry and distracted, then I'll pick up the passage that I've selected for that day, and I'm going to try to allow God to speak to me through these words. So I'm not just going to read through it, and I'm not going to try to study or analyze it, as tempting as that might be to me. And it's a wonderful thing to read scripture, it's a wonderful thing to study, but that's not what we're doing when we go to pray. When we go to pray, we desire to enter more deeply into this love relationship that we have with the Lord and to experience our love for the Lord and his love for me. So I'm not going to think of the passage as something to be figured out or a puzzle to be solved, but rather as the words of my lover who wants nothing more than to speak to my heart. And so instead of an active stance towards this passage, trying to figure it out, trying to dig down in there so I arrive at the treasure that I'm seeking, no, I actually can take on a receptive stance, believing that God desires to speak to me, that I don't have to somehow convince him that I'm worthy to be spoken to, or I've put in 18 minutes of prayer, so please finally let me hear a word from you. No, God doesn't. God looks at us as his beloved children. He's happy to speak to us. So then I'm going to go to the passage and just read it slowly. I'm going to pause with every sentence or phrase, trying to allow each word, every pause, to sink into me. Be similar to perhaps if your spouse dies and you find a pile of their letters that they wrote to you, and every word you want to just cherish and hang on to, and so you read it slowly, as if the person was speaking it to you. even trying to hear the inflection of their voice in the words as you go through them. Father Nigro even suggests to read it out loud, hence another reason to have a quiet and private place to pray. So if I get to the end of the passage, I'll do it again, and then again, if necessary. I say if necessary because as I allow the words to be spoken to me, I'm going to have an attentiveness in my heart to what's going on there. And if I feel the Lord moving there, then I'm going to pause. And it might require a few times of slowly reading through the passage or allowing the words to wash over me before I sense anything going on inside of me. But if I do feel something, if I do feel the Lord moving, then I'm going to go back to that which moved me. Maybe it's a single phrase or a single word, but I'm going to pause there and sit there with that word or that phrase, allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to speak that word into me and to rest there. Now, sometimes this itself will bring us to that place of rest and dialogue and peace that we've been seeking all along. And then we don't have to go back to the passage at all, because actually we're resting in this love relationship that we have with the Lord. So if you're having an intimate moment with your spouse and you're feeling that intimacy, you wouldn't turn and start reading something else. I mean, that would be kind of an insult to your spouse. So if we're enjoying the Lord's presence, if we're resting with Him, we should just stay there and not turn to something else. We don't need to finish the passage, because the Lord has spoken. And we can allow that word then to resonate within us. So just as an example of this, one of the passages that I love to pray with is the passage that we started this evening with. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. I can say it without looking at my notes because I use it all the time. And this is often my experience when I go to pray with this passage. I'll open the Bible and I'll start reading. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." And I don't have to go any farther, because that's actually all I needed to hear. What I really needed to hear is Jesus say the words, "Do not worry about your life." And sensing Jesus speak those words to my heart directly, He can bring me to a place of rest where I don't need to keep going, because the word that I needed to hear and that He desires to speak into my heart has been spoken, and we can rest there then. Do not worry about your life. For you, it might be something different. So if the experience of felt communion comes to an end, we have a couple different options. So we felt the Lord speaking to us through His word. We pause there as long as we continue to hear Him speak to us. And then that sense just goes away, and we're kind of back to the feeling of dryness. So one thing that's good to do then is to talk to the Lord about what you just experienced. To say to Him, "Wow, thank you. I needed so much to feel your love and presence, and you gave it to me." Sometimes that speaking to the Lord can initiate a dialogue. Sometimes that speaking to the Lord can bring us back to a place of rest. But it's always good to do that, because then we remember that this is a love relationship between me and the Lord. And it's a dialogue. And it's good if I feel like he's talked to me, now it's my turn to say something back to him. This was the principle of the ARRR method that I mentioned last week, the Pirate's Prayer method, that kind of prayer, where we acknowledge what we're feeling, relate it to the Lord, receive what the Lord has to say back to us, and then respond back to the Lord. It's a dialogue. During that time, we might resolve to write down what had happened in our prayer in a journal. I think it's a wonderful thing to keep a prayer journal. On days of dryness, it might remind us that, oh yeah, the Lord has spoken to me before. But we also might want to go back to the passage then. Again, when it seems like the well is run dry of what the Lord is saying at that particular time, to go back to it and to do the same thing we had just done. To read the words slowly, to try to let the Lord speak them into our heart, noticing what's going on to us. Sometimes the Lord will speak another word into us. It can also be a particular image that's helpful. So it might be a word, but it might just be an image too. During the Christmas season, I love to pray with the narrative accounts of Jesus' birth, especially from the beginning of Luke's gospel. And it's not so much the words that strike me, it's the image. It's the image of the poor young man and woman who are finally find shelter in a cave or a shed. And there, in the cold, their hearts are so warm with love towards the baby Jesus, who radiates light from the crib. Watching in our prayer, Mary hold Jesus. Watching Joseph as Jesus' foster father, play with him and teach him. I mean, these are such powerful images that can touch us very deeply with God's love and tenderness that really don't involve any words at all. So much of the scriptures is actually images. Jesus telling stories or narrative stories of Jesus. Imagining these in our mind as we read can be a place of rest. And again, we follow the same method. When we feel the Lord moving in our heart, we stop there. And we rest and accept and receive whatever he's doing within us. So I guess as we draw this reflection time to the end, I never want to hog Jesus's time that he wants to have with you. So I've printed off a half sheet with a scripture passage. That's something that you could pray with this evening. Again, if you feel the Lord close, just enjoy him and don't worry about looking at the scripture passage. But you might want to look to the scripture passage. I've chosen just John chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. This is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. On so many places that the Lord might speak to us, it might be that when, as we're reading and Jesus approaches the woman at the well and he says to her, give me a drink, we might feel him saying to us, give me a drink. Give me a drink of your heart. Give me a piece of your heart. Or as we read on, as the woman says, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Maybe that's the sigh of our heart as we realize our longing and desire for Jesus and everything that he wants to give us. We'll be hearing confessions during this time. I'll be in the back confessional on this back right side. And then Father John will be on the other side in the back. If there's not enough time to hear everyone's confession who'd like to go, we'll go back to the confessionals after benediction is over. We'll have about a little more than 25 minutes just to be with the Lord and to pray, and then we'll have benediction. And remember to take the two things in the back, the Father Nigro article on prayer, and also I've left there a little resources with some of my favorite scripture passages, and complete with times that you might want to pray with them. So it's kind of like Google, but maybe not as accessible. So let's keep each other in prayer this evening, now especially as we ask Jesus to touch our hearts, as he's truly present with us, our Eucharistic Lord.